what we want to do is we want to look at three major issues, God willing. We want to examine three major aspects of God over the next few weeks as we look at the Greatness of God series. The first one today we're looking at is who God is. Then we want to look at who God is in you, and then look at who God is through you. And in that process of doing these things, we want to understand that this is the building of the relationship. This is the thing that changes our life to where that if all of a sudden you realize, I've got to fix this car, I've got to repair this engine, and until this engine is repaired, it's going to be all human effort. I'm going to have to walk where I go. I'm going to have to push the car if I want to take it with me. I'm going to have to do all the work because the car isn't going to do it. But at the moment when we start to build into that relationship with God, it's going to be like fixing the motor on that car and then getting inside that car and turning the key of faith and seeing it turn on. And then your car takes you where you want to go. That changes your life. I don't care how good of a jogger you are, you're not going to jog at 60 miles an hour. It's just not going to happen. We don't have that potential. But when you get into your car, you're sitting down, you're relaxed, you have the radio, you have the CD, you have all of this comfort, everything is right there at your fingertips, and you can just move forward and go places and do things at a high rate of speed with great luxury because of the fact you fixed the motor. And that's the way our lives are. As we begin to study who God is, we begin to realize just how great He is, and we begin to repair our understanding of Him, and we see in faith those elements of God and His power, and His love, and His works that He does, and the promises that He's made. When we start to see those things, and we start to move into God, and put our dependency upon Him, we start to move at God's speed. We start to see things on the basis of what God can do. Our lives change. We can get into those issues of finances. We can get into the relationships. We can move in success in all different areas of our lives on God's speed at the moment that we realize that the foundational issues of our life is to build a relationship with Him. And one of the major things that we face is that we don't really know who God is. We don't understand exactly what God is all about. Where the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, probably everybody in here believes God exists. But it's not just talking about believing that God exists in the sense that He's here somewhere and that He's doing something. It's believing that God exists to the degree that He exists. To see the existence of God like He really exists. Realize that God exists throughout the universe and far beyond. That God rewards far beyond what we can think of or ask for. Now, when we look at ourselves and we look at our planet, I don't know if you can tell if that's a planet there, but here's our sign that says, you are here. You ever seen one of those? You are here. As if you didn't know that's where you were. Here's where you are. But sometimes we don't know where we are in relationship to the map. And so the map will say, okay, over this entire map, you're right here. Now, you're right here on this planet. And this planet is a little tiny speck in the universe. And then when you enlarge the earth to its full size, you and I are a little tiny speck on that speck. And as we start to realize this, we begin to realize that this is our life. This is the way we've lived. We see ourselves from those perspectives. And everything we see and everything we think is based on the smallness of our existence. That we are insignificant in comparison to the world, in comparison to the galaxy, in comparison to the universe, in comparison to the God who made that universe. And our problem that we face is that God wants us to see him, appreciate him, and worship him on the basis of his true existence. And it's difficult for us to do that when we face all kinds of circumstances in life that beat us down. Now, this is more of our view of demons and Satan and all those things. We see him as this huge, giant, ugly, big teeth, horrible powers that can crush us. But when Jesus came into his disciples and started to work in their lives and began to change the way they had their perspectives and the way they looked at things, as Jesus began to work on them and take them from where they were to where they needed to go, they started seeing him do things that they had never seen done before. All through the Gospels, Jesus takes his disciples and starts to move them into the spirit realm and takes them out of this speck faith, this speck significance, this little thought life, this smallness of belief. Jesus takes them from where they are and starts to move in their lives and show them things that they'd never seen before. And all of a sudden, he comes up to a man who has a legion of demons. A large multitude of them had entered into his body. This was much over the disciples' head, and yet Jesus walks up, and these demons beg him for the permission to not be cast into the abyss. And his disciples saw something they'd never seen before. Now just imagine that if you had been living all your life in 100 B.C., you'd never seen a car, you'd never seen a plane, you'd never seen a skyscraper, you'd never seen an elevator, you'd never seen any of the cell phones and iPads and MP3 players, you'd never seen any of these things. And all of a sudden, somehow, you got catapulted into the 21st century. What a shock. What a drastic change of life. You're seeing things moving at high rates of speed. You're seeing things that weigh tons and tons and tons that are loaded down with cargo and people and huge fuel. You're seeing them go down a runway and fly. This is going to be a tremendous cultural shock to you because you're experiencing something that your brain has never even thought of before. But can you imagine after a few years of just being exposed to that culture, being exposed to all that technology, pretty soon you got your cell phone, you've got your iPad, you're walking down the street and getting in your car and you're moving in with all of those things that were going on with everybody else's life, and here you are from 100 B.C. And now you're living like a one that's lived in the 21st century because of your exposure to technology that was far, far, far beyond anything that you could think of or ask for. And that's exactly what was going on with the disciples. They were in a boat. And whenever a storm got as big as the one that they were experiencing, they knew the end result. They were going to die. Now, Jesus had been investing in these 12 guys, and they're getting ready to die. And there's nothing that you can do about winds and waves. You just can't handle winds and waves. They're bigger than you. And so he's going to lose his entire ministry to a storm. And he walks out to the edge of the boat and rebukes the wind and the waves and is completely calm. And then the disciples had this question. What kind of a man are you? And that's the question you and I have to start asking. What kind of a man is Jesus? What kind of a man do we serve? What kind of a man has come into our life? What kind of a man has changed our hearts? Then Jesus said, I'm going to take you on one more level higher in your understanding of the 21st century of spirituality. And when they let him know that Lazarus was dying, he remained another 3 days and refused to go until finally Lazarus was dead. Now, for us, death is a scary thing. We see it as something that just can't be beat. We see it as something that if it comes, it comes, and there's nothing you can do about it. But Jesus walks up to that tomb, and he speaks out and says, "Lazarus, come forth." And there were two major problems with Lazarus. Number one, he was dead. And because he was dead, he had been there 4 days, and he was stinking. Well, you know what it means when someone's stinking? It means they're rotting. He had a rotten body. His body had rotted, and it was at a point where that it was unusable. And the second thing that he had was he was wrapped from head to toe in grave clothes. And Lazarus, even if he came alive, he couldn't walk. And Lazarus, because Jesus said, "Come forth," Lazarus came forth. That introduces us to another way of life. That exposes us to a spiritual technology that we're not used to. It brings us to a way of thinking and a way of seeing things in all of life that we are just not able to wrap our minds around. We just can't take our faith and believe that this is possible. But what we're dealing with is the God of the universe. We're dealing with a God that created the entire universe. And the Bible says, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. He made it all. This is the God we serve. This is the God that we are worshiping. This is the God that we praise. And this is the God that we have to start to believe in as his existence being one who holds everything together, the entire universe together, by the word of his power, by the power of his word. That is our assignment. What happens when God doesn't hold the universe together? It's gone. While he's holding your body together, he's holding the galaxies together. And he's saying, without faith, it's impossible to please me. That every person who comes to me must believe that I exist, and I'm a rewarder of those who diligently, earnestly, passionately seek me. We sing the song, "How Great is Our God." How great is our God? Now let's ask this question. How great is your God? Because the Bible says that God is able to do superabundantly above anything you can think of or ask for. Without faith, though, without faith, those things do not come into your life. Are you hearing me? Without faith, God cannot flow through, because God is not pleased with our relationship with him. And without faith, we live 100 BC in spiritual condition. And this is the problem that we're facing across the United States of America and church after church after church. We're finding that the Christians in those churches and the characteristics of those ministries are believing in a God of 100 BC, to where everything about their spiritual understanding and spiritual growth, everything about their understanding of the power of God, is all held back to that level, to where that because we're so tiny, and because we're so insignificant, because we can't see things very big, and because we're so impressed with all of those things around us, because they seem so much larger than us and seem so much more impossible to us, we cannot believe. We cannot turn our faith loose. We cannot allow ourselves to see things from God's perspective. And because we can't see them from God's perspective, we cannot believe them from God's perspective. What does God want to do in this church? What does God want to do in your life? What does God want to do in your community? God-sized things. God wants to do God-sized things in our lives. He wants to move in a mighty way based on what he can do. And he wants us to believe and become a part of what he can do. We have to establish in our own vocabulary, in our own faith, relationship with God, saying, God, I believe in you because you are the God of the universe. I believe in your greatness because you hold everything together by the power of your word. I believe in you. I believe you're going to do those things that you have promised in your word. I believe that you're going to pour out your spirit on all flesh. I believe that you're going to move in these last days to transform the lives of people. I believe that you're going to work miracles in the hearts and the lives of the people of our church and community. I believe because you're the God of the universe. And if you're for us, who can be against us? What the Bible is saying to us is be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what the Bible is saying to us. Why is it saying that to us? Why is it telling us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Why is he putting the responsibility on us? Because we have to believe. We have to believe in that power. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, but that doesn't make you automatically victorious, does it? You ever discovered that? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But that doesn't mean that you take and use that power to overcome Satan. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because it's the God of the universe we're dealing with. What can we believe? What can we receive? What can we see? What can we expect? We can expect God to be God in our lives if we will let him be God in our lives. It's up to us to raise our faith to that new level. It's up to us to see that greatness of God and to say, okay, I believe. Now, as you sit where you sit today, you have your own personal problems, and they're huge. You're going through difficulties. You're going through struggles. There are things that you want to see happen. But the fact is those things are only going to happen to the degree that you see your God's greatness. And what I see so often, I see people struggling with getting those things from God. They're so close. They've accepted him as their personal savior. They're so close. They have started reading their Bibles and they have started praying and they've started seeing the things of God. And they've started singing the right kinds of songs and they've started exposing themselves to the truths of God. But they're just not able to quite transition over to believe that God not only can, but will and has. We know God exists and we know that he does reward some people of the things that of those who diligently seek him, but we don't know if that's going to work for us. Will God do it for you? What do you believe? Will God do it for you? What's happening here this morning? Our hearts are raising to the level of God's greatness. Will God do it for you?
Yes.
We're raising to a level of faith to where that God is able to do what he's able to do in us. God has always been able. Now, if he created you and he created the universe and he created this world, what is it that's difficult for him to do? And if we see him as the creator of the universe, what can we believe in? What was that? What? I'm hearing some great answers here. With God, all things are possible. And we start to raise our eyes away from the issues of this world and away from the smallness of our own personal abilities. You see, there are people who believe that they are capable of doing things that are superior to what God can do. There are people who are going out and trying to solve all their problems all by themselves. And they've got the creator of the universe that they've got parked over here on the side of their life. And are not allowing God to be God in their life. If you have the God of the universe living in your body, what should you start believing? You're awful quiet. Gosh, I don't know. Through him all things are possible. So, what's your problem? What's your need? What's your issue? What's the elements that you're fighting with? What should you believe? That the God of the universe is going to take care of those problems in your life. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, is that a fact or is that just something, a Mel doctrine? It's a fact. It's the Word of God. It says without faith. Okay, without faith. All right, I get it now. What this, if you study it in the Greek and you really examine it, what it really comes out to say is without faith, it's impossible to please him. Isn't that deep? Aren't you glad you did the Greek study? What'd you come out with? You came out with what the Bible says. The Bible says what it says. But we read those things and we think, okay, it says that, but what does that mean? I don't know. I just read it. I read my Bible today. I did my duty. I'm supposed to read my Bible so many chapters a day, and I'm going through that regimen of reading my Bible, and I said, without faith it's impossible to please him, and we read right on down past it, and we missed a principle that rules our life, doesn't it? Why aren't the supernatural manifestations of God ruling and reigning in your life? Faith. How do you know that? What? The Bible says. Isn't that amazing? The Bible said, well, what? I'm starting to get why I'm supposed to read my Bible. Because if the Bible says it, that's the way it is. So maybe I should read this thing. And we change our regimen of life because all of a sudden we say, well, if the Bible says it, that's the way it is. That settles it. Right? So what's wrong with my life? I don't know. What's wrong with my life? I haven't the foggiest. What's wrong with my life? Why isn't God answering my prayers? Well, he is answering your prayers. It's no. Why? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Did I make that up? Or is that what the Bible says? So what should we do? Amen. And how do you get that faith? He holds it all together by the power of his word. Can he control diseases? Can he control finances?
Yes.
Can he control relationships?
Yes.
Can he control careers?
Yes.
Then shouldn't we involve him in those things?
Yes.
And shouldn't we believe that he has heard and answered our prayers to solve those problems?
Yes.
And if we waver, will we receive anything from the Lord? What? 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 No. What's wrong with us? Faith. What are we working on today? Faith. Why are we talking about the universe? I don't know. Because God created it. And if he created it, how hard is it for him to solve your problems? All of a sudden, you see what that does to your faith? It raises us all to a new level where we say, hey, if he can do all that, and if he's holding it all together right here, right now, then my problems are teeny. And he can solve them by the snap of his finger. This is just not too hard for him. And we start to believe. Our eyes start to raise up to the greatness of God. We began to see who he is and who we're dealing with and who we're calling out to, who we're crying out to and saying, God, help me. If you have faith and you start to believe that God exists on the level that he exists in the greatness of God, if you start to believe that God is as great as he is, what is going to happen in your life? According to Hebrews 11:6. Rewards. Will he keep his word? You see, God is so honest. God will not bend the rules. God will not take shortcuts. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and he is sweating as if great drops of blood. And he's praying to his Father, who loves him greater than the universe, greater than anything we can imagine, who loves that Son with an intensity of everything that he is. And this Son is saying to his Father, while he is there sweating as if great drops of blood, he's saying to his Father, Father, if it is all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Did the Father set him free from that assignment? No. Why? There had to be a death. That's the rule. There had to be a death. If there's another way, do you think Jesus would have received it? Yep. You better believe it. Why wasn't there another way? Because God is holy. God is pure. God is honest. And he will not break the rules. And even if it means the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, that Son will die before God will break those rules. And if God says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them, is that true or not? Yes. He who did not hold his only Son, will he not give you all good things? And what we have to do is we have to start looking out at the sky. We have to start looking out into the universe. We have to start seeing God out in all of that creation and holding the entire universe together. And we have to start seeing him from that perspective and saying, God, yes, God exists, but God exists as God. God exists as the creator of the universe, and it has to happen inside of our minds. Our thoughts, our life has to change around that fact and start to say, this is the God that I serve. This is the God that I see. This is the God I'm praying to. This is the God I trust. This is the God that is going to hear and answer my prayers. And if God is for me, who can be against me? There's nothing that can get in the way of that. And if we live in 100 BC, whose fault is that? Because all of the 21st century technology of the spirit realm is brought to your disposal. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let's try it again. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You want to say it one more time? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is that true? God won't bend the rules. He just won't bend the rules. Even to save his own Son, he will not bend the rules. God is truth. And when he says something is true, then it's true. So why are we not getting it? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I'm going to say it again. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why am I suffering? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why am I not getting the answers to my prayers? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That brings us into the basic elements of a relationship with the creator of the universe. That brings us into the greatness of God. That brings our mind into the greatness of God. It brings our prayers into the greatness of God. It brings our faith into the greatness of God. We came this morning for one specific reason, and that's to hear from God. We came today to experience God. That is what we need. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Do you need Jesus? Do you need Jesus? Do you need Jesus? Open up your heart and let Jesus touch your heart right now. You need Jesus. You said you need Jesus. Then reach out to Jesus right now. Without him, nothing was made that was made. He's the creator of the universe. It's Jesus. Through the power and the presence of Jesus, your life is going to be changed. Lift your eyes up to the universe. Lift your eyes up and see the stars. Lift your eyes up so that you can see the greatness of God. Then when you pray, pray on the basis of the greatness of God. Right there where you're standing, pray on the basis of the greatness of God. God, you're a great God. Nothing's impossible to you. Nothing's impossible to you. I believe that you are doing this in my life. I believe you are meeting my needs. I put my faith, my trust in you, because if I don't put my faith in you, I cannot please you. I put my faith in you right here, right now. And allow God to change your life where you are, where you're standing. Why did you come? Why did you put out the effort to come today? Why did you get out of bed? Why did you not go somewhere else? Because there's just this call in your heart that you know that God is the answer to all of your needs. It's the realization of the fact that if I come, you're like that lady that had the issue of blood, and she just said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And it's that same call on your own heart. You're saying, if I could just touch God, if I could just reach out and get a hold of God, if I could just get there where he is and get that which he has flowing into me, my needs would be met. I think the thing that scares me the most in all of church and all of Christianity is ritualism. I think that scares me more than anything else. I just think it's such a shame that a person would pay such a price to be where they are, to come to church, and then go through the ritual of religion. Doesn't that sound horrible to you? Amen? Doesn't that sound scary to you, to just go through a ritual and walk away empty? To come to where the presence of God is moving in a mighty way, and to walk away still sick, still afflicted, still depressed, still discouraged, still frustrated, still hurting. That scares me more than anything else, is to think that you put out the effort today. I spend all week long, I spend praying and seeking God and saying, God, these people are coming today to hear you. These people are coming this Sunday to hear from you. Oh God, Almighty God, meet their needs. That's what I pray. All week long I pray this. God, if they're going to put out the effort to come and be in church on this Sunday, mighty God, move in their lives. I pray, I plead before you, God, meet their needs, because they put out that effort and you said, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. You're here. We've all prayed for you. We've all sought God for you, that God would meet your needs. Receive right there where you stand. Receive the answers to your prayers from the God of the universe right where you stand. Receive them right there where you stand. Receive the presence and the power and the glory of God in your heart and in your life right where you stand. Don't miss out on what God has for you this morning. Don't miss it. Don't walk out of here empty. Let God touch your heart and your life. Let God move in all of your whole being. Let him touch you right there where you stand. Just reach out to him where you stand. Just close your eyes and just reach out to him. Just close your eyes, and maybe if you want to, just reach your hands out and say, God, I reach out to you. God, I want you. I need you. God, I need miracles in my life. I need miracles in my body. I need miracles in my finances. I need miracles in my relationships. God, I reach out to you right here, right now. And let him fill your heart and your life right where you are. Let him touch you with his mighty power. Let him show you what the God of the universe can do for you. And believe that he's hearing and answering your prayers where you stand. Believe. Receive. Receive.